Well, we're going to go back this morning in our teaching where the Lord spoke to me and gave me scripture from which, as he said, would be the foundation of our teaching on this series that I'm doing. It's called Above All Things. He gave me the title, said Above All Things. And it's from 3 John, the second chapter. And I said it, the Spirit quoted this to me from the King James Version, which is, Beloved, I wish above all things that you may as prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. The New King James says, Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers. But actually, the King James really says it right in line with how it was in the Greek it's written. And it says, I wish above all things. And the Lord wanted me to emphasize that, the fact is, above all things. And we looked at this letter that was written here in 3 John, was written to a brother in the Lord whose name was Gaius, and he was commended because really he's walking in light of the Word of God. And that was the big thing that John said about it. The thing he liked the most was the fact that they walked in light of the Word of God. And really that's the most important thing that we can do, is follow in line with the Word of God. If we want to walk in the areas, especially in these areas where he talks about to prosper and to be in health, these two areas. So when we look, we know this about Gaius. Gaius is born again. In the early church, the norm was to be Spirit-filled, speaking in other tongues. So we know that this guy's walking in, if he's walking in the light of the truth, he's walking in that. He's living in the truth. And so he's walking in the truth, and so he's following it, he's walking in love, following the truth, and John says, boy, above everything, for you, I want you to prosper and be in health. And, you know, if you're going to follow the Word of God and walk in light of the Word, and I want to say this to you, above all things, I want you to prosper and be in health. You know what? I don't want every Christian to prosper. I'm not interested in every Christian. There's Christians, if they prospered, I'm going to tell you, the devil would have another buddy. Because they would just downright follow the money, and they wouldn't serve God with it. But hallelujah, if you walk with God, following the Word of God, then above all, God says to you, the Lord wouldn't have me preach this, gave the title if it didn't fit us. And so God has a plan for us. Above all, He wants us to prosper and to be in health. I can't go back over all the other things that I taught. I want us to go over this morning to 1 Timothy because we're going to look on a side that, you know, a lot of sort of prosperity people would think this is sort of negative, but it's not negative. It's things that we need to be able to look and judge in ourselves. And it's from 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, as Paul's writing to Timothy. The opening first few verses of that chapter deals with about servants and their conduct to the master. And I'm going to break in at the 5th verse because I don't want to read the whole thing. But it says this, in the start of the 5th verse is breaking in. It says, useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. He says, from such withdraw yourself. So, in other words, people who look at being godly, or we would say this, is what we would call, maybe we might say in our vernacular, being a Christian, the point of being a Christian is to get gain. In other words, then we need to understand, there's nothing matter with getting gain. I mean, the Lord, through the apostle John, spoke to Gaius and told him he wanted to prosper and be in health. But what it is that because of people's wrong motives. As many people come along and their intent of what they do is a selfish motive about, they look at their Christianity as just about gain in their life. It's about me getting gain. It's about me getting something. You know, I remember years ago, there was a minister years back that, I don't know if he's still around today or not. I don't know if he's still ministering on TV. I don't watch a lot of just generally watch a lot of Christian television per se, just the because there's a lot of stuff going on out there, and a lot of it might be good, but I don't have time to spend my life watching all of that. I'm trying to find out a few things from God myself. but it's good. I listen to other people, and I, you know, read things and do stuff. But this gentleman had a really, I mean, in fact, I have a couple of his books that were excellent teaching, wonderful teaching, good stuff. And then he got over into the financial things, and man, he got messed up. After a while, that's all he did. Every time you turned it on. But it always came down to about getting him money, and I started to see in him a wrong spirit. He got this thing tied on to him and took a guy who was a good in the ministry. And after a while, all Christianity was about for him is getting money. That's all it was. That's all. And lo, there's a lot of people loved it. And he always had a prophecy about you giving him money. And people were doing it. They were sending him money like crazy. He had, because you know, the prophecies were always, well, you're going to get rich. You know, you're just going to be, you're going to be this. People love to hear that stuff. People like to hear it. And I want you to understand, as we read through this, you got to judge yourself on how much you like to hear that and why you like to hear that. Why do you like, see, you could hear it for a very right reason. You could hear those things and say, yeah, man, I could, man, what I could do for God and bless people and do things of God, you know, Heather, or the attitude of, well, man, I'll tell you what, I'll have two houses at the shore, I'll have one at the mountain, and I'll get myself, you know, a good $2 million over the road bus, and I'll just, man, me, and I'll just be out here, and I'll tell you, just me and Jesus on the road all the time. And, you know, see, a lot of people, you know, and really, we got to watch what the motives behind why you want to prosper. What's the purpose of prosperity? We're going to find out. It says that people that move over into this area, you're supposed to withdraw yourself from. When I hear a person, you need to understand this. There's a lot of areas that people could get into error and have wrong teachings about different things. There are certain areas you don't ever touch, and if somebody does, you quit listening to them. You don't even ever listen to them. If they get over in the area questioning the lordship of Jesus, they get over in the areas where sin's all right and you're already forgiven, you get into those areas, you don't even touch with them people. When you get over in the areas and people are just pushing really what we're dealing with, covetousness. You don't even touch. I don't care what else they're teaching good. You don't even listen to them. You withdraw yourself because we're going to find out the great danger. What is a good thing, they will pervert it. And if you don't watch it, you'll get perverted in it. And it'll lead you away from God. The love of money is covetousness. And the New Testament says covetousness is idolatry. See that minister I'm talking about? He became an idolater and his life proved it. The things that went on and happened with that man, he wasn't following God at all. His love of stuff, he had a God that he was serving, but it wasn't the Lord Jesus Christ. He didn't start there. He started off right. But you start listening to extremes and you start getting off too much in the extreme, and what is good ends up hurting you, you know. You know, there's medications that a doctor could give an individual that would help an individual. You take too much and they'll plant you in the ground and bury you. Even though it was good, you got to watch what you do. There's good things in life that are like that. They're good, but you push it to an extreme. And so what we're talking, this is why we need to be careful, and I want you to be careful about listening, because you don't want to shy away from prospering. What you want to do, though, is understand what it is to get off base with it, what it can do to you. And what I want you to understand is you get to the point to understand that what you basically need to do is learn to develop spiritually so you don't get in the traps of the things. God wants to bring prosperity to his people, but I'll tell you what, there's a lot of people got hurt with it because of not knowing what to do. Today we have too much of one side of prosperity preached and not the warnings about being immature, and they too many immature, and I've watched it happen. I've watched people, their lives get destroyed over it. Then you have the other side, the people that walk right with it, and what a blessing it is. But we need to understand, not everybody's ready to get prospered. Not everybody's ready for prosperity. And understand that prosperity is never a measure of spirituality. Never. We might see somebody has been blessed by the Lord, but you can't measure spirituality because somebody's blessed the Lord. You can turn around and have money and not be a bad person, but never serve God. You're just a good business person or have a good job, and you can have money, and it doesn't mean God's blessed you at all. It doesn't mean God's blessed you. So that's why you can't use it as a measure. You know? I mean, Bill Gates didn't cheat people to get money. He's a billionaire. But he sure didn't get it from God. Did he? See, there's a lot of this stuff you're so prepared. You're going to get prosperity in that stuff. You're just going to prosper. Do it through God. And you're going to. Well, there is different ways to do it. But understand, you're going to have something you're going to have to do with it to cooperate with God to get God's prosperity. Because God's prosperity, understand this, folks, is a blessing. And it's a blessed to be prospered like God does. This is number one. God does not have a prosperity thing for you that's a quick get-rich scheme. Anything that is prosperity based on you getting prosperous really quick is not God. Never has been, never will be. God's prosperity runs over time and development of a person and their character, their morality, that kind of thing. God works in those areas. I realize why it took God so long to talk to me really about certain areas of prosperity, because over time you must develop. You must develop in areas for Him to be able to take you to certain steps in certain places. That's why some people, Christians, have got into certain places and certain steps into things over time. You're not going to get there just because you put a bunch of money in an offering plate. Don't let anybody or any minister ever lie to you about that. Just because you put money in a plate don't mean you're working with God. And we got to get out of this thing, because there's a blessing that God wants to bring. 2017, I believe, is going to be an explosive year of a change of things, and it's people learning how to cooperate with God, what God wants to do. It'll not just be it'll be a blessing to everybody. It's going to be, I want to be a blessing to this whole world. I want to carry out Abraham's vision. How about it? Let's be a blessing to the nations of the earth. Let's be a blessing, dear God. Hallelujah. And let's help Jesus Christ fulfill His vision of taking the gospel to the world. Hallelujah. Jesus is coming back, and your bank account's staying here. And your 401ks are all staying here. They're not going with. If you haven't noticed, nobody leaves with them. They're going to be here. How can I be? That doesn't mean you just have to give everything away, but I'm just telling you, we want to flow with God. If anything, I want to do in this age and time. I don't want to get off base. Now, verse 6 says, this is what? He says, now godliness, being godly, he said, with contentment is great gain. Now, if we went in our society today, what would you say the biggest thing that America needs? Is it more money? Is it, you know, more food? More, is there any contentment out there? Hallelujah, I got it. You might have contentment, but I'm going to tell you, we're looking at a world, and we're even looking at a church world that has no contentment. Hallelujah. But that's what godliness is. There's a good measuring stick. Next time somebody tells you they're godly, see how content they are. There's a measuring stick. Hallelujah. Well, good preaching anyhow. Glory to God. But these are good things. Now, these are things that are not to discourage us in any way from prosperity, but they're things to measure us and learn as we want to develop in areas so we can walk in it. Verse 7 of 1 Timothy 6 says, for we brought nothing to the world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Now, Apostle Paul's talking concerning himself. He says, but those who desire, now listen, those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare. Now listen, if you desire to be rich, you need to understand that there's temptations that come with that. And there are snares that come with it. This is what he's warning them. He didn't say you can't be rich. He's telling them, if you have a desire to be rich, there are temptations that come with it. America is proof of this. We have a rich nation, and we have fell into all the temptations and snares. We've jumped in them both feet. So he's telling us. Now look, so in other words, there's a good thing, but understand a good thing. Listen to this about money and riches. You're going to be able to buy a lot of sin with it. And it won't appear to you sin coming out with it. But I watch people, I've watched this over, I've been observing people over the years. I watch people as they prosper, they spend more time in leisure and less time with God. They spend more. You watch what people start doing. The things that they did to come to the place where God could bless them are the things now that they're ignoring and they're used. Oh, well, God gave us this blessing to use to consume it on my own lusts. And what happens? They end up falling more away, and after a while, they're doing things they wouldn't have done before. They're doing stuff they wouldn't. Money opens the door to you a lot of things. And if you're not morally strong, I'll tell you what, you're in trouble. There's a great temptation. I don't know how you are. This is one of the reasons I was always sort of very cautious on the areas about money and stuff, because I looked at those things. I want to be the place where it doesn't tempt me. Where that temptation comes, I can look it in the face and say, ain't going there, ain't going to that place. I'm going to tell you what, it's a big temptation. It's a big temptation. A huge temptation to go there in that place. I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. So it says in a snare, he says, and into many foolish and harmful lusts. Understand, we start dealing with lust. He says, which draw men into destruction and perdition. Lust. He's talking about the lusts of the flesh. See, when, you know, it's just like you watch people when they start getting money, and they can start doing things. You start watching people. I mean, they can't, you know, they have to get a new car every year. You know, you want a new car, but you see some people, they're never content. The things that they have to do to keep themselves happy, the things that they must do. You know, I got to have the latest new thing. You know, any new phone that comes out, I got to get the new phone and I'll go stand in line. You know, I'm going to tell you what, people got lustful problems. Have to have the latest this and this and that all the time. We always have to have the latest of the thing. What happened? That's the desires of the flesh. Because they get it, then they have to go tell everybody they got it. But you get these lusts and desires that people fall for. Now, you know, the new, when something comes out, the person might want to money because maybe it will be helpful for them, maybe to use it. But most people, that's not what it's for. It's to have it. You know, like they say, like our phones, you know, we got these phones. They said, you know, that the average person doesn't even use their phone for 10% of what it does. Your phone don't need to be near as good as it is. You know, most of you, a $25 phone would have worked. And you think I'm kidding? I'm not. But you can't buy them. They make them to do everything. But people don't know what to do. They don't use the things and don't use them for what all they can be used for. But we got to all have the latest gadgets, you know. I got to get the next screen that's the best. And I look at them and I can't tell a difference between one of the other. Oh, this screen is so much more better. I mean, well, make it a 44-inch or something. Then maybe we'll really see if it is so good. But, you know, we're looking at this little squirrely thing here. I don't care how many pixels. You need to understand the eye can only see to a certain point. And they're making them to beyond the eye can see any difference. And you're spending more money for it. And the eye cannot tell you. They lie to you when they tell you that you get all these great pictures. You need to understand the eye can only visualize it to a certain point. And then you go beyond that in pixelation, the eye never sees it. But it makes people good to say it. And wow, look at this. Isn't this great? I'm sorry, I'm not walking around with the rest of my life with that thing in my face. I'm not driving down the road. And I can't keep it off my ear. I can't keep talking. I can't quit looking. I can't just, you know. But we're talking about lust. We live in a society. And money allows you to do a lot of lusts, to follow a lot of the lusts of the flesh. And you need to understand that. That's why the flesh must be brought under control. The flesh must be brought to the place where it doesn't dominate or rule. Because if it does, you're going to use prosperity in a wrong way. You will. It'll be used in a wrong way. It won't be a blessing to you. It'll be a problem. You want it to be. If we prosper, we want it to be a blessing. Man, don't you want it to be fun? Instead of trouble? I mean, think about this. I mean, in Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich, but he adds no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich and you don't have sorrow. If people got money and sorrow, I know who gave them the money. And it wasn't God. Many people, they get money and they ain't any happier. If you don't watch yourself, you can gain money and not be happy. I've noticed this about the things, the temptations that come as you get more money over time and you gain more money. Now, when I was back in the days when I was living from check to check, trying to learn about this blessing of God in finances and how to live a blessed, like get God involved in my finances, I needed somebody because I didn't know what to do with it. I was messed up. But as God started to bless me, I began to notice this. The more extra money came to me, before I never thought about a thing about it. When you tithe, well, you just tithed it out. You didn't have, you know, a bunch of anything hardly left over. You tithe, did your thing, and you didn't have much left. And all of a sudden, you have this extra money left over, and now all of a sudden, you want to protect it. And then you get upset when something comes along and you have to spend it. You start thinking, oh man, where's that going to? Before, you'd have never even had it. If you had needed something, you couldn't even afford to buy it. But now you become protective of it. That's the flesh. The flesh. And we become protective of that thing when we didn't before, when we didn't have much, and all of a sudden you get it. Now all of a sudden I'm in love with that thing. Oh, I would never admit that. But nonetheless, it becomes true. And you got, because your flesh loves that. Your flesh never thinks it's going to have enough. Your flesh is going to, you know, always saving for the rainy day, because your flesh will always talk you with, there's going to be one and it's going to pour on you and you better have every nickel. Don't give that to any to somebody else. You're going to need every nickel you can get. Well, if you give that money away, what happens if you get sick? Well, do you have enough money to pay your bills? See, what happens when you don't have money, people don't think about that at all. But you start getting some and all that comes into play. All that starts. Your flesh starts looking at that account. Your flesh starts looking over there and inside your heart saying, oh, God, whatever you want me to do. And your flesh is saying, shut up. Don't say that to him. Don't. He'll want some of it if you... Don't say that. That's good preaching anyhow, folks. But these people that want to get rich and don't deal with the temptations and the snares... It said that in many foolish and harmful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. Now listen to what it says. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. You don't want to go there, do you? But we're told that can happen. Now, one of the worst things that Christians would do is then try to shy away. Well, I don't want to get rich. I don't want to get rich. See, that's what the church is, either one ditch on the other side or going to one or the other. In other words, instead of stopping and saying, you know what, I'm going to take the responsibility where I do want to have rich. Now look, Jesus Christ himself told Kenneth Hagin, has said to him, now, and here's one of the things if it is, and if you learn this, you won't have all this trouble with your flesh. He said, if you learn to be led by the Spirit of God, he said that he told Kenneth Hagin this, if you learn to be led by the Spirit of God, I'll make you rich. Now, if we weren't supposed to get rich, why did the Spirit of God say that to Kenneth Hagin? But he said to him, he told him something, you've got to learn to be led by the Spirit of God, not by your flesh. You're going to have to learn to be, he said, I'll make you rich. He didn't say you'd make you rich. He said, I'll make you rich. And he said, God did exactly what he said. He said, he made me rich. He said, if you don't learn to be led by the Spirit, in other words, you're going to become spiritual. If you become spiritual, God will make you rich. He'll add no sorrow to it. If you're led by the Spirit, you're not going to get off over this other stuff. If you're led by the Spirit, your flesh ain't going to dominate you. Your flesh is not going to rule you. You can't be led by the Spirit and flesh ruled. Cannot happen. When a person becomes flesh ruled, it's because they're not being led by the Spirit. They're not. I don't care what they say. You become flesh ruled, the flesh dominates, that means I'm not being led by the Spirit. I know the difference, being led by the flesh and being led by the Spirit. I've done both. And you have too, so don't look at me like this is weird. We know what it is to be led by the Spirit and be led by the flesh. We've all been there and camped in that place. And we know what it costs when you're led by the flesh. And you know what? You don't ever find no contentment being led in the flesh. Do you notice that? There's no contentment over there. There's no godliness with contentment, being led by the flesh. Brother, I know. Those are the ones you'd lay your head down at night and worry on the pillow. Go through half the night till you get to sleep. Hallelujah. So in other words, he said the love of money. Now, he didn't say money is the root of all evil, but the love of it opens the door to all kind of evil. In other words, it's getting into idolatry is what it is. When money becomes the god of an individual, the love of it becomes the god. That's what I saw happen to that minister. I saw where money became his god. And he would use all the terms when he'd talk of Jesus and he'd say all this stuff, but I knew what he was worshiping. He only preached Jesus and did what he did to get money out of people, to make people, you know, feel that, oh yeah, I'm doing something good for you. When the whole time he was doing nothing but lying in his own pockets. That's what he was doing with it. And I watched his ministry fall apart. I watched things just go under with the guy. I watched it down the tubes. You know, eventually it ain't going to hold up. But I'll tell you what, he got a lot of people's money beforehand because they were lusting for it just as much as he was. They loved that to be told, a get-rich-quick scheme. Yeah, you give to me and God said this is what he's going to do for you. And so they fell for the scheme. And so we want to. You don't want to do for that. God don't want you to fall. God doesn't want you to walk along and him blessing your life and the next thing you know, you're not following God. If anything he wants is not your money in an offering plate. He wants you in the offering plate. He wants you in it. You know, we're singing, I'll give my life. That's what he wants. He got your life. The money thing, you and him will work great together on. You'll be in good business partners with each other. You'll just do just fine. That's what you want to do. But we need to understand, if we don't, money is a huge problem. And I wish they preached more about this because there's a lot of people have been led off into things and have followed the bucks because these areas don't get preached. It's the money solve all stuff. The money don't solve everything. Money can really create a lot of problems if it's not dealt with. It's a dangerous thing when it's not handled properly. And especially when we think about, we think about, oh, my bills are paid and all this kind of stuff. But where's your walk with Jesus? Where's your eternity going to be? He made mention here and said about these Christian people, foolish, harmful lust that drown men in destruction and perdition. I mean, it don't sound good for the Christian person ending up in this thing. These people that pierce themselves through with many sorrows. Well, we know that's not God. That's not God's intent. God said, you know, he'd prosper you, but what is he? He don't want any sorrow with it. He don't want any with it. That's why it's following the plan of God. That's what you and I want to do. We want to prosper. We want to follow the plan of God. It's number one. I mean, I can't sit down and set an exact rule to anybody. You have to learn to know where your heart's at and where you're at in things. If you can't read you, you're in trouble. You have to learn to read you. You have to know where your heart is in things. You need to learn to know when your motive's wrong about something. You don't go ask somebody else if it is. They don't know. Don't ask, well, is it okay to do this or that? Some, you know, other people are doing it. Well, how would I know? What's their motive and what's yours? I ain't God unless he tells me. But you know in your heart why you want to do what you do. I don't. And you're going to have to know that. You're going to have to be led by your own spirit, your human spirit, and you and the Holy Spirit in you. Nobody can do that for you. Your intentions and motives. Now, one thing, over time, your intentions and motives are going to show up on the outside. They're going to get seen. And people are going to know what it really is. One thing it is, learn to judge it yourself, because when it shows up on the outside, you definitely lose. Because people then know what you really are. So see what happens. The devil might get you over in the area and lead you off into something thinking, wow, it's fun. But I'm going to tell you what, when it shows up, it ain't fun no more when everybody knows. And see, this is one of the things it is. The devil will always lead you off to destroy you. That's what he'll do. Don't let him work in areas and in these areas. Develop yourself spiritually. Listen what he said. In verse 11, Paul's talking to a preacher here, Timothy. Timothy's a preacher. He's talking to a pastor of a church. Now, we know that Paul preached prosperity. We know that he did. So is he over here trying to tell us, stay away from money, stay away from money? No, it's about conduct with money. It's about how we deal with it. Now, verse 11 says, but you, O man of God. Now, what did he do? He called him a man of God. Flee these things and pursue what? Righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and gentleness. What are you supposed to be doing? Studying prosperity? I'm going to tell you what. You will prosper if you study these other things. I'm just telling you. You'll prosper. If you study these other things, you'll prosper. He just told him. He told him as a minister what he's supposed to be studying, the things he's supposed to be going after. If he's supposed to be going after it, wouldn't he be preaching that to his people? Wouldn't that be what God would be telling you to do? See, Brother Hagin, they got upset at him because he preached. He said, all these guys, he said, this is one thing, and I learned, you know, at Raymond in school. Brother Hagin talked about it. We had classes on the 50s. What stopped the healing revivals of the 50s was they began to hold all of these prosperity seminar stuff and started going on all this prosperity stuff. And he said it killed the revival. He said it killed it. He said that wasn't what the revival was about. The revival was about healing, getting people filled with the Holy Ghost, getting people saved. And they got over it. And he said after a while, all they were doing, these ministers that had these anointings for healing and stuff, we're all out running around preaching prosperity all the time. Well, it was good to preach it and then take an offering. You get a lot of money coming in. You see, that doesn't mean somebody can't talk about finances. They can. But nobody talks about it all the time. And if they do all the time, they're in left field. They've gotten out into an extreme. Because giving money is not the number one thing about how to prosper. It's not the number one on the top of the list. Paul just said what the stuff at the top of the list is. Well, I found out if anything was going to change, he needed the top of the list stuff. Dear Lord, I needed that. I don't know about you, but I needed that. I needed those things. They're the top of the list. Why? To get God working in your prosperity where you get no sorrow with it. Wouldn't that be nice? Having money and living in money don't own you. Hallelujah. You own it. You're a blessing following the will of God. And God is just trying to find more ways to get blessing into your hand because you and Him are on a team together. Hallelujah. That's where we want to go. That's where we want to go. That's what we want to follow. Hallelujah. Command. Now listen to what he said. Here's the command. The preacher is supposed to command the rich. Now listen, he's writing this. Command. He didn't say ask the rich nicely. Because if you know what, ask them nice because they might get upset and leave the church. They might get upset and leave. So be very gentle with them. The church is in a mess today because of all the coward preachers. The church is full of cowards. You know, one of the things that the Bible says a preacher is supposed to do, he's supposed to rebuke. One of the things he's supposed to do. Boy, they've moved that one out. It's all this nice stuff. We want a positive message. Positive means this. Don't step on nobody's toes. Don't say anything's wrong. That's positive. Because it positively makes sure I get more money. And everybody's happy with me. And nobody doesn't dislike me. Because I just can't stand it if somebody would dislike Ed. I would just hate it. I don't care anymore. Okay. It's like I said, if you're mad at me, get in line. You might have to wait a while. Line's pretty long. But the whole thing is this. It's not being mean to him, but you've got to command him. What? He just showed all the dangers of this thing. You're not commanding him because you hate him. You're trying to keep him out of trouble. And you don't, he's saying, preacher, you don't love him if you don't. I'm sorry. Brother Hagin even said, many times preachers don't love the people they preach to. They just want to get something out of them. Don't tell them the truth. He said, command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty. Oh, no, you're not a big deal because you got money. Because, you know, see, there's a fault. You can get to, well, I think you're better than other people because you got more than other people do. Don't think you're above it. If somebody handed you a couple million dollars, would you be a different person tomorrow? No matter how many people would. I've seen a lot of nice people that get some money, all of a sudden they're different people. They ain't the same as they were. Would you be influenced like that? See, I don't want to. If I would act in that manner, oh Lord, send the money to somebody else. Don't give it to it. I don't want to go there. I don't want to be in that place. I want to get myself straightened out so I can handle that. I'd want to do that. Not to be hard, not to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives richly all things to enjoy. So see, you can be rich and not enjoy what you got. Trying to keep it all, trying to do it. The Bible tells us, the rich guy went and turned around. Well, I'll tell you what, I'm rich. I got to build bigger barns so I can store more up. I'm storing up. I'm not giving. I'm not walking. I'm storing up. I'm a storer-upper. That's what I do. Yep, God blesses me and I'm a storer-upper. And I'm storing up, so I'm just going to have so much, and I got so. He said, this day your soul's going to be required of you. Don't sound a very good thing. In other words, this guy went past a point of temptation where he's going to lose his mind. In other words, the devil's going to own that man's mind in a way of thinking. I don't want to go there. You can go to the point. You can go to the point where you'll just get so obsessed in a way of thinking, you can't find your way back. See, you don't want to do that. People do that all the time. There's people who get obsessed in ways of thinking. Now, I've talked before about, people with money turn around. Where people turn around, they find, they've had this happen all the times, where people turn around. They found out that they're living in poverty, on eating good food and everything. Found out they have fortunes in the banks, but they're living like a, because, they got an obsessed mind about their money and won't, you don't want to touch that money. Well, we might need that. We might need that. We got to have that. You can't, and then turn around and die. Not having the necessities of life that you need to have. You can get so obsessed you can turn into that. Say, well, I would never do that. Well, you don't walk close with God. Yes, you can end up there, and you may. You could end up in that. Don't ever say, you walk over the devil, don't tell me how far. I'm just going to go so far with him, and that's it. We're only going to go to a short walk together, but I ain't going to go too far. I'll guarantee you, you will always end up in a further walk than you thought you would. You always will. I'll tell you, don't go walk with him. I'm speaking by experience, folks. You don't go walk with it. Because you'll always, take you further. We're not going there, are we? But what we want to do, God's given us things to enjoy. He said, verse 8, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. Ready to give, willing to share. So in other words, one of the things you need to know, if you're going to get over in the area where God's going to bless you with wealth, He wants you to be ready to give, willing to share. That's part of it. If you haven't got that in with you, where your income's at now, don't ask for any more. Whatever you're operating in now is what you're going to do when you get more. So if you don't walk right with it now, you won't do right with it. If you're not faithful with a little, are you going to be faithful with a lot? What did Jesus say? No. No. So I'm glad over time. I learned over time. Learn how to try to be faithful with what you got. God will make you ruler over more. But you got to be faithful. People, I've over the years, and I've said this to finally, I told people already just right to their face, they say, oh, when I get a lot of money, we're going to give this and we're going to do that. And there are always people who haven't given say that. And I look at them and I say this, no, you won't. If you get a lot of money, we'll never see you. That's the way it is. You don't do it now. If you could give a dollar and you won't give the dollar, you're not going to give $100. You're not going to give $1,000. When you get more, you're going to find a good reason you need to keep it. Because after you take it and you just bought all the houses and lands and all the stuff that you wanted to have to fulfill the lust of your flesh, there ain't going to be enough left over. I'll have to keep some, That's what it'll be. You learn with a little bit. I thank God He taught me with a little bit. Wanda and I, we worked through the little bit days. But we were faithful in the little bit days. And over time, God kept supplying more to us and kept doing more things for us. And over time, it just kept working along and working along and working along. It wasn't some get quick, rich, quick scheme. It wasn't around there, but it worked. But one of the things of it is, till this day, I like God as much as I always did. That's where I wanted to be. I wanted to be in the place where I could hear from heaven and hear what God's saying, that money wasn't my voice. That I was hearing all the time and stuff and whatever pleased me or whatever made me feel good to hear wasn't the voice that I wanted to listen to. And over time, God developed, and God will develop you, and this is what He wants to do. You folks have been faithful concerning areas of giving. You've been faithful in your giving. No matter what area you come along and how much wealth or whatever you gain, don't let ever dominate you and rule you. You can't go to that. The lust of the flesh will always want to protect what you got and is afraid if you give it away, what's going to happen? Am I going to have any left? That's your flesh, folks. It does that. That's the way it is. I don't know what you do about it other than kill this thing and go off to be with Jesus. But it keeps doing dumb stuff. It'll keep lying to you. It's dead in sin. If your flesh talks nice to you, it's been lying to you all this time. And if you've been believing it, you're the lover of lies. My flesh lies to me. It's an outright scumbag. If I don't beat it under, it'll just down out lie to me. That's the way it is. It's your flesh. And your flesh, you do enough of this, you had enough money, you could do this, and you'd really be beautiful. Man, they don't make enough stuff to make me beautiful. and I'm not going under the knife. You know, I'm just going to be a rich, ugly dude. I don't give a rip. I just, you know, I'll tell you what. But I found out this is the world system. Women will chase you just because you got money. I mean, look at these guys. I mean, they look like, you know, 40 miles of bad road, and they're rich, and you have all these young chicks following after them. You know? I mean, so, you know, why spend the money looking good? If you want to follow the flesh, you got money, people will chase you down. Good preaching, people. Hallelujah. Now, these rich people, he told them what to do. They were supposed to do good works, ready and willing to share. He said, for why? Storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come that they may lay hold of eternal life. In other words, it's talking about doing this, about laying up. So see, a person in this earth, there's people who give, and the only reason they give is to be seen. We see that with Jesus and the Pharisees. He said when they went out and they gave their money, they gave it to be seen. You know, I've done it already. Wanda and I have given to a ministry, given somebody money. And they sort of wanted to do something about let people know, you know, thing. And I always tell people, no, I don't want anybody, you don't need to blow my horn. I didn't give it to get an announcement. You don't have to put my name on a church window. You don't have to put my name on a pew that I gave money. You don't have to do that. I don't want my horn blowed. I'm laying up treasure, folks. I got an investment going, and I ain't blowing it because my flesh says, tell everybody so they know what you did. Let them know. See, now they think you're real nice. Now we know you're a scumbag. Come on. Get real about it. If it's wrong, understand this. God knows. Jesus Christ himself said about those individuals who gave only to be seen. He said, that's your reward. The only reward that those people will ever see, or you will ever see if you do it in that manner, is the pat on the back in this life. You have laid nothing up. You're not going to hear Jesus say, I'm glad you gave the money. He'll never say that. There's no reward in heaven for that. There's none. The reward is completely based on laying a good foundation. We're doing this good. Why? Because it's the right thing to do. It's the walk of love. It's righteousness. It's right thing to do. It's just. It's the just thing to do. We're doing it because it's right. And not a pat on the back. You know, I don't go out here and not kill people because I want people to think Ed's nice and don't kill people. So it ain't right to do, whether anybody recognizes it or not. You don't lie, cheat, and steal. I don't hold up banks because I want people to think good of Ed. I don't do it because it's the right thing not to rob banks. All these people running around and they want people to think they're good. They think I'm really nice. Man, they killed Jesus and he was perfect. Dear God, you can do everything perfect and nobody pay attention to you. You can do everything that's right. What's the scripture saying? The end times, what it be? They'll call evil good and good evil. Well, we'll get in trouble with people when we're doing right, won't we? So let's not run around this horn blowing stuff. Let's just do what's right. I want you to come to the place that God can trust you with prosperity. He can trust you with not just money, but things, to bring things into your hand. God will pass things through you to get them to somebody else. God, do you want to be a vessel that God can use to get things to where He wants to go? See, many people say, I want to be used by God. And most people, let me tell you, the majority of Christians that even hear the faith message are not rivers, they're dams. They don't let things flow. They stop things up. Everything that gets in their hands, they're trying to keep. Everything that comes to them, they're trying to hold on to it. I don't mean you can't have stuff. You can't have stuff. But you have to be led by the Spirit of God. You got to know what God's passing through to you. And when God says, hey, I want you to give that. I want you to do that. That's what He said here. We're supposed to be willing. We're supposed to be willing and ready to give, to do whatever it is to take to do it. Just to go ahead and do it. You know, I remember one time years ago, I had a ring that I liked. And the Lord told me to give the ring away. And I liked the ring. But He said, give it away. Well, what do? You go take it off, go give it away. Your flesh says, yeah, but you really like that. You could give the money what it's worth. That isn't what God said to me to do. I could have gave the money of what it's worth and been in total disobedience. Me giving that ring did a big thing between me and God. He liked it a lot, about willingness. Most of Christianity and their teaching on prosperity is what we can get out of God, not what God can get out of us. I'm going to tell you, I have no right to ask God for anything if I'm going to withhold from Him. This is a partnership. If I want what He has, He must have hand in what I got. You need to understand this. This is how God's prosperity works. Many people, it's the ones that it's all about what I can get out from God. No, it's what He can get out from me. Most people run it. It's a one-way street, and it's not a one-way street. See, and I love it when I see, you see people in ministry or people that are just willing to give. I mean, they'll just throw it right out there. God says give it. I mean, they just take their house and go give it away. They just do anything. Whatever God said to do, they just go doing it. Man, I want to be a river like that, don't you? What God says to do. Now, what do you think is going to happen to that individual obeying God like that? See, people wonder, why'd God give them that much? Or why'd God do this for them? I can understand why. Because they're a river. They're in a partnership in a business. And God will trust them with all kinds of stuff and give them all kinds of things because He can trust them with anything He put in their hand. Because they are actual partners in the ministry. Most people are God's employees. They're not partners. They just want the paychecks. They just want the paychecks. We're not in the business. God, You do all the investing. You carry all the weight of the thing. Just keep sending me my check. I mean, it's just, I work with people all the years, never understood what a business puts up with to make money. All they were is they were just a person on the side who took money out of the business, and they never understood what made a business work, how much work it was to make a business work. And they never understood none of that, standing on the other side, and all they ever wanted out of that business. They were never part of really, not really from employee-wise. They never even fit what the Bible said about concerning their employer. They begrudged their employer any profits they made. They begrudge. You got to watch that stuff because you're going to deal with your own prosperity doing that. The opening of the 1 Timothy in the 6th chapter deals with the servant and his how he conducts himself toward his master. And those were the guys that he was rebuking over the bit about those useless people. They're always bucking the system. Always bucking the system. You got to learn that. You can't begrudge. I don't care if somebody gets money wrong. I ain't going to begrudge him of money. It don't matter. We ain't going to play that game. Because this is what you'll end up to be. After a while, you'll be criticizing everybody that has money and then asking God for money. And you think He's going to give you any? You can't get none because you don't think you're really supposed to have it because it's bad to have money. You run your mouth. Your mouth will set in motion your future. Many people are trying to get blessed while cursing their future. Don't curse your future. Don't curse your future. That was all free, folks. Proverbs 15:6 says, better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures with trouble. See, God looks at prosperity a little bit different than we do. God looks at the fact, why have money if you're going to have trouble? If you're going to have trouble, you'll use money to get yourself in just more trouble. God don't want you to have that. The way things, you know, it's the whole idea. Proverbs 16:8. Better is a little with righteousness than vast revenues without justice. You hear that? Better is a little with righteousness. This is, Mark, concerning our nation. If our nation isn't going to do right, prosperity is going to be its curse. If it doesn't provide justice, money, we have watched our money in our nation down the tube because of all the unjust people in our nation. Following sin, the church following sin, living like hell, Christians living like hell. And follow, what does it do? What did it produce in our nation? It didn't produce justice, did it? It made things, people say, how did our nation get like it did? I can tell you easy, the people and even the church. People don't live right, walk right. It's easy to know how it ended up like it is. It's not hard to figure out. People turn around and complain about a legislator doing evil while they do the same evil, but they think that guy ought to do better because he's in charge. Well, when you meet Jesus in heaven, you're going to hear a different story. He's not going to talk to you about the guy that did the bad thing. He's going to talk about the things we did. That's what he's going to discuss. It's like, oh, well, maybe we better change some things. Psalm 37:16 says, a little that a righteous man has is better than the riches of many wicked. If a righteous guy only got a little bit, he's still better off than the wicked guy. See, we need to learn to follow these things. Proverbs 28:6 says, better is the poor who walks in his integrity than the one perverse in his way, though he be rich. Doesn't seem like money's number one with God, does it? See, this is why, is that when I read the things over there that verifies what Paul said about the things that we're supposed to be walking in or studying, looking at, would be righteousness and faith and love and those things. That's what we're looking at. He's the integrity. See, when you leave, you cannot leave those subjects and hold integrity. Integrity flies away like a bird when you leave those subjects, and those subjects aren't up in front. That's why Brother Hagin and his teachings kept certain things up in the front all the time. One thing, a lot of people say Brother Hagin was a faith teacher. I'm going to tell you, Brother Hagin was a love teacher. You never heard him teach it. He didn't talk about it. Brother Hagin would tell you, if you don't walk in love, your faith ain't going to work. You got to walk in love. Brother Hagin teach on righteousness, walking right, living right, integrity. I went to Rhema Bible Training Center, and I'm going to tell you what. We had lots of talk about integrity. They talked to us about constantly about that. Integrity. I don't know if they do anymore or not. I don't know. But folks, I'm not saying these things to shy us away from wealth. God wants us to come over, just like he said to Brother Hagin, if you'll be led by the Spirit, I'll make you rich. In other words, God wanted to make him rich. But we have these things that are shown us in the Scriptures that help us and spare us, not to turn around and do something to us. God's not saying here, well, boy, go hide and don't get rich. Yet a lot of Christians almost preach that out of this stuff. Oh, I don't want to be rich. And you know what happened to them? They never were spiritual either. They didn't get rich and they weren't spiritual. So what they did is, I didn't have money, so I'm okay. So I can be haughty and hoard all my stuff and I'm okay because I'm not considered the rich guy. You need to understand, everybody here is rich. If you don't think you qualify in this, you need to understand, if you're an American, you got more money if you're on welfare than 90% of the world got. You're part of the rich world. What are you doing with it? Well, it comes down to it. We're a rich people in a rich nation, and we're already here. We might as well just get it right, ain't we? Let's get this thing moving along good. Let's get it moving right. Because number one, my great desire for you, that God blesses your life, that God prospers you and there's no sorrow in it. That's what I want for you. I want you. We're coming into this year and we're going to step into some things. And I'll tell you what, if we walk in and we're preaching these things, why? So you, if we, they're not preached, you cannot know what to do when the temptation comes. You'll not know. You won't know. See, if these things aren't preached, and this is why we've gotten such a mess in the church, if these things aren't preached, then people couldn't make wise decisions when things happen. They couldn't. They couldn't walk by faith. They didn't know what the Bible said about it. And see, this is why it's so important. We know what the Bible says about it. Why? It is our own self-protection of ourselves and others around us. You know, when we get off base, it affects other people. Did you ever notice that in life? But if we stay on base and we stay right, now there's people out here, and thank God, I thank God for the people that do have understood with prosperity and how to walk in. And I thank God for every preacher who understood it and has had integrity in it. Thank God, what a blessing. They're being a blessing to their people because they have a right model in front of them. And my God, is that ever needed today? We need some role models. That's one thing that I've always been, you know, cautious about in the areas of money. I've never wanted people to think that I had my hand in their pocket. I don't ever want people to think that. You know, let me just say this in closing. About the Lord spoke to me about this week, about bringing this up. There's many ministers that know how to take big offerings. But they're not, they can't, and the money that they get comes in through, they know how to get offerings through the ministries, but they don't know how to believe God for themselves for money. Brother Hagin made this statement, and I remember him making it, I heard him personally say it. Brother Hagin said, it's not easy to believe God for $1 million. Now, he wasn't talking about the ministry, he had believed God for millions for the ministry, but for an individual. You bringing just $1 million into you without going telling anybody else about it. See, they take money for this. There's nothing about taking an offering to the ministry and telling what the cause is, and there's things like that. There's too many times they've taken offerings and a lot of the money don't go to the cause. There's a lot of shameful stuff goes on like that in the ministry. And there's a lot of ministers who have lined their pockets off of that calling things faith when they really personally did not have much faith in it. I remember this years ago. Now, Fred Price knows a little bit about money and believing God for money, don't he? I don't know if you know Fred Price, minister, but anyhow, Fred Price, I mean, Fred Price drives a Rolls Royce, you know. I mean, my God, I mean, my car is only about the cost of his spare tire. But you know, now Fred's never a greedy man. I never listened to him. I never felt that Fred had his hand in my pocket. But Fred Price said this, and I heard him told the story. You believe in person. This is not going out after somebody else standing and taking an offering. You need to understand, because a man knows how to take an offering and get a lot of money in the offering does not mean he has faith, per se. It's for himself, personally. Fred Price said this and told the story. It's like, well, I remember what Brother Hagin said. It's not easy just to believe God, get $1 million. Fred Price said, I set myself a little goal one time. He said, I set myself a goal. I was going to have somebody come and give me personally, come and give me $1 million. He's going to do it. Came personally, gave me $1 million. Now he said, I never told anybody about it, never said nothing. He said, I set myself. He said, now Fred Price, here's this guy, he's driving around Rolls Royces and everything else. He said, it took 5 years for that to come in. He said, there was two businessmen come along and he said, they got together and both of them put $500,000 in the pot and came and gave me the money. He said, it took 5 years. See, what we see is lots of times, I'm sorry about this, but we need to talk about these things because what you see going on a lot of times is ministries ain't real life. They're standing up in front and telling all the need. I want to see what that guy can do when he ain't telling anybody. The Lord trained me and taught me in finances by not ever telling anybody what my personal needs are. That's how he trained me. I had a terrible time just... Well, the Lord told me one time that I was supposed to tell what my personal need was, and I had a terrible time for weeks not wanting to deal with that, and I didn't want to do it, and I didn't. That's a hard thing for me to do because I was trained. You believe God, and you stand for you, Ed, because I don't want to manipulate anybody into thinking, you know, they have to do something. I want to believe God. I want God to speak to individuals. I want them to do it, not because they got emotionally moved in it. I want them to be led of the Spirit, because I want them to have the blessing of it, of hearing from God for themselves, sowing it themselves and doing it. That's what I want. And really, that's the way God wants things to function. That's what He wants. Most Christians have been trained from the financial area. They don't move till they're told. And they're told by men. That's not good. That's not good. It's good for us to be following in our own hearts is what to do. That's getting over here. If you can be led by the Spirit of God, that's where you get over, is being led by the Spirit. Not that somebody has to tell you all the time, that somebody has to prophesy and tell you, the Lord said you got to put 1,000 in. You know, I watched one of the biggest ministers in the United States. Guy takes in over $500 million a year in America. And he went and turned around and had an offering. And he had his offering. And he said, you have to come up and at least give $500. He said, I'm going to pray for those who give. And this guy sits there, everybody thinks, big name, thinks he's wonderful. And he said, if you aren't going to give $500, I ain't going to pray for you. And said it was from God. And I know what God it was. I know that Spirit. But he's a big name, he gets away with it. And people flock to do it with the whole idea that they're going to get blessed. They might as well wipe their rear ends with that money. That's as good as it's going to get used for them. We need to stop this stuff, folks. I want you to be blessed. I don't want you falling for the gimmicks. I don't want you under that kind of thing. I want you to be able to look at it and say, hold it, put the brakes on. God, if you want me to give the guy money, I'll give him money, but you're going to have to tell me. So I told the Lord, Lord, I ain't sending him no checks. If you want me to send him any checks, you have to talk to me about that one. Because I said, I ain't going along with that kind of stuff. That stuff ain't right. God's not going to bless a guy because what's a guy sitting there and he got $200 in his pocket? That's all he got to his name. But that ain't good enough for God? I'm going to tell you what, that was nothing but the devil talking through that man's mouth. I don't care how big of a minister he is. That's the devil. God don't do that to people. He just told the woman with the two mites, you and Jesus are stupid. I mean, I listen to a guy on television. That's the last time I've ever turned it on to ever listen to him again. People listen to him all the time. He's on 5 million stations. But Ed don't watch him. I don't need that junk. I have enough trouble with my flesh. I have enough trouble. I don't need that spirit. That one I don't need. I don't care how much other he preaches right. I don't care how much other anointing he got. You need to understand this. There's many men walking around with anointings, and anointing is from God. But you need to understand, the anointing on them is not for them, it's for people. And the only reason God puts up with them is for the people's sake. But eventually, it will come to a close. But those meetings he have, they think that all these people come because of them. No, he does because of them. No, they don't. It's because God shows up by the people's faith, not by the guy. If God had the choice and would sit down and say, you know, I'm going to do it for him, he couldn't do it. He anoints him because of the people, the need of the people, and God is blessing the people. I learned that back when PTL got in its mess, and the Lord spoke to me one night. I said, Lord, there's crazy stuff going on there. Why is there so much anointing? And the Lord said to me, I don't do that for Jim Baker and his wife and those people. He said, I'm doing it for the people come in there with their faith. He said, I'm blessing them because they're seeking me and they're standing for me. He said, I ain't doing it for them. It's not their faith. He says, I'm doing it for the faith of the people that showed up. Ministers get big-headed. They think God does what he does. Go over the healing revivals and see what happened back in the 50s, the healing revivals. How many of those men ended up dead? I mean, they were doing great miracles till the day they dropped dead. But it was for the people. It was God blessing people. It wasn't about them. God uses me for people. That's what it's about. It ain't about Ed. Dear God, I never anointed me yet. Wouldn't know how to do it. I don't know what you're doing. But I never anointed me yet. It's for the people. That's what it's for. Hallelujah. God's interest in people. He's interested in your blessing. I tell you what, he wants to take you over the top this year. Glory to God. Are we going to allow him to take us over the top? I believe we are. Hallelujah. We're not going to get fooled by the schemes. We're not going to follow that. I'll tell you what. We're going to be richly blessed because we richly bless. Hallelujah. That's why. God wants to bless you. God wants to prosper you. That's his plan. That's his purpose. He wants to do that. If you'll be led by the Spirit, and you will be. Hallelujah. We'll just keep preaching these things along the right things, doing the right stuff. And I'll tell you, the right things will bring forth the right stuff. You'll have the right believing, the right thinking, and you'll follow right in line with God's plan and purpose. And I'll tell you what, you can ask anything according to his will. You know this, he'll hear you. And you know this, if he hears you, you'll have the petition you request of him. So if you need some, money, you need some stuff, you need to heal it, whatever it is, you'll have it. Hallelujah. You got it. Glory to God. Because you're walking in line with the word. You and Gaius. And John's going to be saying, you know, I love those guys down there because they walk in the word. Hallelujah. I love them. Lord, let's stand to our feet. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I just want to thank you. Father, you have great plans for these people. Great plans.